Again, we do not turn to the Gospel of Matthew this evening. I hope to go there next week with you again. We turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, and I'll explain in a moment. We're going to look at verses 1 through 9, which is its own pericope. It is a complete text, pretty much. But really why we're turning here tonight, why I'm turning here tonight, and so I drag you along with me, but I trust when I need to do something like this, the Lord has something in store for you that I think it's for just my weakness, but often it'll be for something you need to hear as I do. Verse 8. Verse 8 is the reason we're coming here. It really is my text. I'm not going to explain. I'm not exactly exegeting all the text, although we'll touch on a few verses for context. But verse 8, and really just the first part of verse 8, is why we're here tonight and what we want to focus on. But let's look at Mark 14, verses 1 through 9 to see the context first. Hear now the word of God, the gospel of God, and even the words spoken of the Son of God on earth, Jesus Christ, your Lord, now speaking to you from heaven. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation with themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for her, spoken of for a memorial of her. Let me share with you why we're here tonight in Mark instead of Matthew. It's been another one of those weeks, and I won't share all the details. You know the story. I got to the end of the week, and even though I'd done a good amount of study in number 17, probably a month ahead of time. By the way, I was able to use an article Elder Maxwell got for me quite a while ago now. You might remember when he was up on vacation at the seminary, he did some Atlas research for me and got an article out of a theological journal. I was able to use that, and I thought, wow, that was a while ago. I thought I'd been there a lot earlier, and thankfully was able to do that, but I didn't think I was going to be able to preach the morning sermon on number 17 to start with, and I determined there's no way I can preach the one in Matthew, the next part of chapter 12. It's a longer text, and it's got some pretty challenging stuff. I want to make sure I have enough time to handle it rightly. When I know it's a verse that needs particular attention, I don't want to rush through that. And I almost decided to have video sermons this morning, but I was motivated last night. I just was praying that the Lord would give me what I needed. I was praying, I love you, help me to feed your sheep. I did run out of time, I ran out of energy, and frankly, I ran out of motivation in terms of my own strength and feeling like I didn't have anything to offer you. But I was moved to show up with something, both morning and evening, by verse 8, the first part of our text this evening. She hath done what she could. So I said, Lord, I want to try to do what I can. And I'll just trust that you'll say the same of me. He did what he could, in a sense of approving it. I was particularly motivated by something I had read on this verse about this text, making this kind of application. We can't do it all right. We can't do everything. But if we do what we can, the Lord is pleased, and it is enough. It was such a great devotional commentary on this text. I want to share more about that later. But that's been on my heart. You know, I kind of reserve something. Well, when I need to defer to a topical sermon when I might not have enough time, and this is all I can do, this has been the next one on my mind for a while. So I decided it was tonight to bring it to you. And I'll share more about that commentary, that devotional commentary, later. First, what I'd like to do, though, is turn back with you a couple chapters in the Gospel of Mark. Turn with me to chapter 12. We'll come back to chapter 14. This text came to mind thinking about our text tonight. She did what she could. Jesus takes notice of doing what we can while others criticize or overlook it. People tend to focus on what we can't do. We tend to focus on what we couldn't do. Jesus focuses on what we can and what we do, especially when it's all we could have done. We might not meet others' expectations, certainly don't meet our own expectations, and certainly never come close to God's requirements. But in Christ, our mediator, in our union with him, he can say, as we serve him, they did what they could. And so we see, I think, another example of that here in the Gospel of Mark, just in chapter 12, the end of chapter 12, beginning with verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and behold, how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. So he's saying, yeah, those other people gave way more, but they didn't give what they could. And they did it for their own attention. This lady did it quietly for God, and she gave everything she could. And Jesus takes notice of that, just as he does tonight. Certainly an offering with this lady that's much more valuable in terms of monetary assessment. But similarly, as she's being criticized by the same kinds of people here, Jesus is saying, I take notice of it and I praise it. And I praise her for it. Just as he does the widow's mites. Just as we are reminded of other widows in the scriptures, in the Old Testament, needed to have their faith stretched a bit by this, but also were encouraged by doing what they could. 1 Kings chapter 17, 2 Kings chapter 4, two widows almost didn't do a thing, almost prepared to die, almost didn't offer anything until they were encouraged to do what they could with what they had. By Elijah and then Elisha. And you know the stories of what happened. The cruse did not run out of oil. The barrel did not run out of wheat, though they had a handful and just a tiny bit to offer. God just they couldn't get enough. The one pot of oil filled all the pots they could possibly find, and they sold it for a profit. But at first they said, well, I don't even have anything to offer the Lord. I mean, I got nothing. Well, what about that thing? Can you offer that? Well, I could. What's that going to accomplish? Well, with God, all kinds of amazing things. If we don't sell him short by selling what we have short, after all, it's in our hands by his hand. Well, that same widow with Elisha in 2 Kings 4, her and her husband, she and her husband later kept a guest room for Elisha when he passed through. In fact, she said, we need to make a guest room. We need to have a place where the minister of God can stay as he's passing through to do the ministry. Now that brings back Matthew 10 to mind, doesn't it? A little while ago, he sends out the disciples and he says, go find a place that will keep you. If they're going to put you up and they show they're favorable to the gospel and to you, you go in there and they'll take care of you. And that's a real opportunity of hospitality. In fact, remember, that's one of the things that we should be seeing for anybody that would be considered to be an elder. One of the qualifications is that they show hospitality. Simon, in our text, just like the widow, he offered hospitality verse 3 of chapter 14 of Mark, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper as he sat at meat. So let's not miss that context. Simon the leper, probably called Simon the leper. He's someone who's healed, probably. He's differentiated from Simon Peter, probably, the commentators would explain to us. Makes sense to me, but nonetheless, Simon the leper, gee, that's, thanks for reminding me, you know, thanks for letting that be a name that sticks. Simon the leper, not a place I think that the other religious leaders would want to be known to be staying at. Maybe that's all he could do. Maybe that's all he could offer was his house. I don't really have a lot I can offer, but I have my house. You are welcome to visit. You are welcome to do ministry in my house. I open the doors of my house to you. Mi casa es su casa. Maybe that's all he could do. I can't imagine Simon the leper had a lot else he could have done. But it was enough. And so he is named. We know his name. Just like her, though we don't know her name in this text, verse 9, I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. We are remembering Simon the leper, and we are remembering this woman, because it was enough. It's true again tonight. What Jesus says is exactly what's happening. We're remembering her right now. I mean, several thousand years later, and this woman and her little thing she did that they are making fun of her for, it's still being preached about her in your hearing. Some mock her for it, but Jesus memorializes her for it. Again, because of verse 8, she hath done what she could. She hath done what she could. And that's the real phrase we want to hang on to for ourselves tonight. She did what she could. Don't mock her. I will memorialize her. She did what she could. Literally in the Greek, it reads something like this. That she had, she did. That she had, she did. Something like that. And you can think of that back to the widows. Whether it's the widow's mite or the widows with Elijah and Elisha, I don't have hardly anything. I don't have anything. Well, actually, what about that? That she had, she did something with. She did what she could. Now, what's interesting about our lady in the text tonight, in Luke chapter 7, verse 37, they actually call her a sinner. That's important to recognize with the context and why they're mocking her. She probably shouldn't even be in their presence, they would think. She doesn't belong here. After all, we know earlier in Matthew, we've seen that they're and Jesus even brings it up more recently, talking about the way they hate John the Baptist and hate Jesus in both their ministries. But Jesus was a friend of sinners, and they hate him for that, right? You know, what are you doing with these tax collectors and sinners? What are you doing with these people? And so she probably isn't someone, she probably had to kind of sneak through the back door. She's probably trying really hard not even to be seen. But she wanted to do what she could. She probably has done many things that could have kept her away from Christ. She's probably done many things that could have kept her away from the church. Probably many in the church who have gladly kept her away. And we can make excuses. Well, I don't have any business being in the church. I don't. Christ couldn't accept me. Christ wouldn't take what I have to offer. I'm spoiled goods. She didn't let that stop her. She came to serve him, nonetheless, while she could. While she could. Verse 6, Jesus says it's a good work that she's done. Why is it a good work? Again, verses 3 and 8 tell us, funeral preparation. Anybody think, I'm going to have a mighty ministry of funeral preparation. I'm going to serve the Lord preparing people to die. Well, you know, that's actually a lot of the ministry, isn't it? In fact, it's a little bit of what we were doing last night, supporting our sister and preparing her for when the Lord is going to be ready to take her in to Abraham's bosom. But it's not the kind of thing that anybody puts in a church brochure or praises about, hey, look at our funeral preparation ministry. Come on and get involved. That's what he praises her for. That's what she's doing. And the thing is, if she didn't do it now, she wouldn't be able to do it later. It's close to the end of the gospel, just as we have it in Matthew later on. But it doesn't have this phrase, she did what she could. That's in Mark. But if she doesn't do it now, it will be a missed opportunity. She did what she could while she could, you see. You don't want to wait until you think you're going to be perfect. You'll never do it. You don't want to wait until you think you can offer it without any problems. Christ will purify your offering. Do what you can and do it while you can. Satan wants you to say, oh, it's too late. He certainly doesn't want you to bless Jesus' body, the church as it is now. She did what she could while she could. And there's no perfect timing. It couldn't have been perfect timing for her to do it. She's certainly risking ridicule walking in here to do this. And she received the ridicule, but she didn't run away. She kept serving. And in so doing, Jonathan Gill points out that Christ is here pointing out she was fulfilling the prophecy of Song of Solomon 1 verse 12, which reads, while the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. That almost gives me goosebumps. A lot of the commentators think that she knew she was doing this, the Lord that revealed it to her. I don't necessarily think that's the case. I don't know if she even knew. She just was doing what she could. And in so doing, she was fulfilling the prophecy. While King Jesus sat at the table, she used her spikenard to make him smell good for his burial. Here's what I think verse 8, the first part in its context, is essentially encouraging us about, beloved. While religious critics might judge our service, certainly the world, but while religious critics might judge our service to Jesus as maybe even too extravagant, as they do in the text, while we might think it is too little, Jesus accepts our sincerely serving him with what we can. I mean, I don't know about you, but that just opens up the floodgates for me to keep trying and not to kill myself for what I don't pull off. And I hope it does that for you, because then we'll serve him more, you see, rather than less, which is Satan's design with the critics of what you can't do or what you couldn't do. When Jesus says, through Paul, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Are you not good enough? Is your offering not good enough? Well, outside of Christ, of course, the answer is always yes. But inside of Christ, what is Christ's answer? Leave her alone. Leave him alone. She did what she could. He did what he could for me. And so he and she did a good work for me. You ought to be thankful you're observing it happen before your eyes, because I'm going to memorialize it until the end of time, until I come back. It's enough for Jesus. You are enough for Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12 reads, For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. She did what she could. He did what he could. Are you doing what? Can you say, I did what I could today? Can you say that tomorrow? Again, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Maybe all you can do for Jesus is be a mother or a father. like Mary and Joseph. Jesus says it's enough. They did what they could. Maybe all you can do is show up to work tomorrow on time. And be honest about your break and do the best you can possibly do to glorify the Lord. And come home tonight, tomorrow night, late and tired. And have a prayer, as I've heard some Puritan ministers have sometimes, Lord, I'm tired, amen. That's not the only prayer you should be praying, but sometimes isn't that like, don't you have those moments? I want to pray more, Lord, and I don't have it in me, but I don't want to go to bed without saying thank you and good night. And that's, you did what you could. And that's enough. Jesus says it's enough. Maybe all you can do is wait on God in your old age, beloved, in church. Maybe that's about all you got left. Having waited on him in this church for so many years, before I was born, you started. Like Anna, like Simeon in the temple, who got to see and hold Jesus. Jesus says it is enough. Maybe your physical abilities are waning and you feel like you have nothing or you're having less and less that you can offer. Can you listen, beloved, to Christ speaking tonight? Can you sing to him tonight? Can you eat and drink of his supper tonight and proclaim his death till he come? Saying as you eat and drink his body and blood, he is enough for me. He says, that is enough. Are you just a little kid? One of you don't even know I'm speaking to you probably yet. You can't. Can you praise him out of your mouth? Can you sit and behave and show honor to your Father and your Heavenly Father? God says he's ordained that kind of stuff. Psalm 8, verse 2, Matthew 21, 16, there again. You see what they're doing? The religious leaders, they're praising you. They're calling you the Messiah. Hosanna to the Son of David. Of course, haven't you heard? Out of the mouth of babes and infants, thou hast ordained strength. Thou hast perfected praise. You ought to be doing the same, but apparently I'm not enough for you. So your offering's not enough for me. The children's offering is. Jesus says it is enough. Let me ask you this, beloved. Did all of you who could show up at hospice last night to sing happy birthday and eat cake with a 95-year-old sister who can't be here anymore and presently doesn't even remember you were there? She can't likely remember you did it. But at the time, she wasn't alone. And she laughed. And she cried and she clapped her hands at the little ones and she just kept extolling, I can't believe this is all for me. I mean, that was a refrain. I hope that's enough for you because Jesus says they did what they could and that's enough. What else does he say? When you did that to her, you did it to me. It was as if you poured beautiful smelling offerings on me and anointed me as your king. Maybe you're trying to turn your life around and it is not going as fast as you had hoped. Well, if I can make an aside comment here, we found this helpful in the men's study in the third state of the fourfold state of human nature by Thomas Boston. We found this very helpful. We can get frustrated that we're not growing in a certain area as fast as we like to, but he said, that's because God grows us proportionately. Now think about it. If a child has an enormous hand in out of proportion to the rest of the body, we would be, ooh, that's not good. Let's pray things get corrected. For lack of a better illustration, God is growing us proportionately. It's enough for him. Let it be enough for you. This isn't to say to rest on your laurels. This isn't to say that you shouldn't be concerned to grow zealously for the Lord. But let me ask you this. Can you let his grace be sufficient for you one day at a time? Can His grace be sufficient for you tonight? Can you just say no tonight? Or can you often do what I have to do? I tell the children, I just got to go to bed. At this point, I got to go to bed. I've done what I can. It's just going to have to be enough. And then joy comes in the morning. New mercies come in the morning. Great is His faithfulness. It's got to be enough, sufficient. Can you just let His grace be sufficient for you for that next moment, tonight, tomorrow, and get through the day and praise Him at the end of it? And just be able to rejoice that you're more than a conqueror, because though He slayed you, yet you trusted in Him and praised Him again. Though you don't really have a whole lot to show for it, as an individual, as a family, as a church, perhaps the way we would hope sometimes, but can it be enough for you? Because Jesus says it's enough. Can you choose contentment about all you can accomplish at the moment? The little things that add up to the big things, so that He can then let you be entrusted with more? Jesus says that's enough. If you do what you can, all that you can, that's enough. Maybe you don't feel like you have that many gifts to offer Jesus. Maybe you feel like you've never had any gifts to offer Jesus. Let's remember, gifts are gifts from God anyways. They have nothing to do with anything to say about us. But maybe you never feel like you've ever amounted to much for the Lord or done any major things. You haven't been to China. You haven't been to Brazil. You know, maybe you haven't translated a major work out of Latin. I don't know. You pick whatever it is. You know, you've shown up to work. You've shown up for your family. Hey, you know, that right there is more than most people ever do. And sadly, in the church, that's the truth too. Jesus looks and says, well, that may not be so glamorous, but it is glorious. I am glorified in it, and I praise You. You did what You could with what I gave You to do. Maybe you feel like you could be doing better. Well, simplify to better serve the best you can and be satisfied. If you're like me, you try to do too much. And you can get overwhelmed and frustrated. You didn't pull it all off. Well, slow down and do less. Do it better. And let well done, good and faithful servant, for whatever you can do, be enough. David Murray, in his book Reset, writes this: by investing in fewer things, we can make significant progress in the most important things. And it's better to do some things better than try to do too many things poorly. Doing more things is not necessarily doing what we can do. It sometimes limits what we could have done. Be content to do a few little things and do them well, knowing Jesus appreciates and remembers that and knows your name, which is written in His book of life. That quote by David Murray I found in my book in my library today, hoping to find what I was looking for as the impetus to this very sermon. I found that quote, but I didn't find what I was looking for the whole sermon. The whole reason I wanted to preach this sermon for you. The devotional that I was sure, and I still think it is, by Jerry Bridges in my day-to-day on holiness devotion. I can't find this scripture. I can't find this quote. And I almost went out of my mind. I was almost going to give up last night when I realized I can't find this thing. But I thought I would. And then today I'm like, it's not going to be found. What am I supposed to do? I was going to base the whole sermon on this thing. I went through that book 5 or 6 times, page by page. Slowed down the next time. I can't find it. I know it's there. I'll probably find it tomorrow morning. You know what I mean? I know I highlighted this part where he talks about this woman and that it's enough. She did what she could. It's a glorious devotion. I wanted so bad to share it with you. I don't care about what I'm saying. I wanted to share this with you. I can't find it. I went through several books online. I thought it was in this book by David Murray, Reset. That's why I went there. And then I'm searching online. I think it's out there. And then I find Jerry Bridges and this verse quoted in a book by David Murray, but it's the book Refresh for the Women, the counterpart book of the book. And, oh, but I'll find it now and reset. I must overlook. Couldn't find it. It's not there. Thankfully, my door was closed because I almost cried several times. Yeah, we men can do that too. I was just exhausted and I was so disappointed and frustrated. What am I going to do now? I guess God intended for that to be the illustration of this sermon and its point. And it's still driving me crazy. And I'm so disappointed in myself because I've been thinking about it for weeks and I don't know where it is. But beloved, here I am now and I couldn't get that quote for you. The whole point of this sermon. This is all I got. Tonight, I've done what I could. And I'm just going to have to trust that it's good enough. Whatever you can offer to Jesus tonight, whatever you can offer him tomorrow, whatever you can offer him this week, he will remember it. He'll say, she did what he could. She could. He did what he could. It's enough. It's a good thing they did to me. Remember Matthew 12, verse 20. Last week, a bruised reed shall he not break, a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment into victory. She did what she could. Jonathan Gill speaks of it this way. She had done according to her ability and good will. Trust that that will be said of you when you do what you can. And you can say, as you sigh in exhaustion, completely disappointed in yourself, but knowing the truth is I did mas o menos, pardon the accent, I did what I could. And if King Jesus says that about you, beloved, let it be enough for you. Let Christ's loving approval be enough for you. As he says, approvingly, she did what she could. Leave her alone. He did what he could. Leave him alone. That's a good thing they just did there for me in my church. And I will remember them. And on the last day, I will raise them up from the dead. And I will hold forth the book of life with their names written on it. And say, well done, good and faithful servants. So when you did those things, you did it to me. Let Christ's loving approval be enough for you. And love Jesus and do what you can. It's tough out there. It's a tough life. It's difficult to be a disciple. It's a war within your own self. Don't give up. The message for you from Jesus Christ, he looks at you and says, you did what you could, and it was a good work. Let that motivate you, and this is the message for you this evening. Love Jesus and do what you can. Can we do that? Through the rest of the service, can we do that as we go to bed tonight? Can we do that tomorrow when we get up and go out throughout the week? Can we just do that, beloved? Can we just do what we can? And be able to say, I did what I could. Thank you, Jesus, that in and with you through your blood, it's enough. I am excited to think what more the Lord will do through us when we can do that, when we can say that. Beloved, love Jesus and do what you can. Let us pray. Almighty God, we do love you. And we ask that you would help us to do better for you as you motivate us with this text. As we see you approving of our feeble, foolish efforts, embarrassed in front of everyone as we show up and are afraid to, and we don't even belong here or with you. We are sinners also, beating our breasts. Have mercy on we sinners. But you send we who cry out to you for mercy justified, and you shine upon us with your approving smile of we you have justified who seek to serve you as best we can when we can, simply because we just can't help ourselves to keep trying, because we love you and we are so thankful. And even our thankfulness and our effort to be more holy than yesterday is the main things you highlight as your will for us. So as we seek to be more grateful and expressive of it, and as we seek to be more holy as you are holy, even in our imperfect efforts, yet because we make the effort by your cleansing blood and because of your commands and direction, you say you did what you could instead of excusing yourself from trying and not doing anything. It is indeed better than nothing. And in me, I have made it something. O Lord, indeed, embolden us with these things. Comfort your people and strengthen them to serve you better. Indeed, transform them more by the renewing of their minds about themselves and about their works in Christ, that you would conform us more into the image of Christ, and let indeed our motivation be to hear every day, and especially on the last great day, well done, good and faithful servants. And all your people said, Amen. Amen. Beloved, let us turn to Psalm 125 on page 291 to sing together before Christ dismisses us with his blessing. Page 291, Psalm 125, please stand.
Da, 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 da.
Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, trusting he's watching and remembering and saying, You did what you could, and in me and for me it is good. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.